السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين والخلص من أصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. لورت. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين هم من خشية ربهم مشفقون والذين هم بآيات ربهم يؤمنون والذين هم بربهم لا يشركون والذين يؤتون ما أتوا وقلوبهم وجلة أنهم إلى ربهم راجعون أولئك يسارعون في الخيرات وهم لها سابقون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Someone asked me the other day, why do you guys love Ahlul Bayt so much? I said, we don't discriminate. We are attracted to people who have better qualities in this life and pioneers in good manners, good akhlaq. And one of the things that we learned from Ahlul Bayt is to give, ata, sharing, is to sacrifice. Ahlul Bayt are leaders in this universe, leaders in their sacrifice. Sometimes a person pays some money, some food, some clothing, or he shelters someone in his house. But when it comes to giving your life, that is the ultimate sacrifice. Because we found Ahlul Bayt to be pioneers in the ultimate sacrifice, giving their lives, not just their food and their money and their clothing. They are ready to give their life. And therefore, in this life, there are two concepts that God created from day one. From day one. And that is to give, not just to take. To give too. Now, why should we give? This is number one. Why should we give? And how should we give? And how does giving become fruitful? These are the questions that I'm going to address today, inshallah. Number one, from day one, Allah says this life is based on give and take. And therefore, He tested the children of Adam. Adam and Eve, they had children. So God presented them with the first test, and that is the test of giving, the test of sacrifice, which is mentioned in chapter 5 in verse 27. Watlu alayhim, rehearse on your community, ya Rasulallah, rehearse, tell your community this story. Watlu alayhim naba abnay adama bilhaq, the story of the children of Adam with truth. إذ قربا قربانا فتقبل من أحدهما ولم يتقبل من الآخر. They both presented قربان, offering, sacrifice, giving. They gave donation, both of them. So it was accepted from one of them, but it was not accepted from the other. ولم يتقبل من الآخر. That's the first test. It's a test about what you give. If you are a human being, you must give. This is your first task in this life. First responsibility in this life is to be able to give. Once you pass this test, other tests are easy. Other tests are going to be easy. So one of them passed the test. He gave the best offering. Whereas the other, he gave offering, but the offering was not good. The quality of his offering was not good. First of all, he gave reluctantly. He didn't like to give. And when he gave the bad product, not the good one. He presented God with bad product. قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ. One of them passed with honor. The second one failed, unfortunately. And therefore Allah says to the Prophet, I want you to refine your community. Refinement. You have to refine them. You have to polish them. You have to cleanse them. How do you cleanse? You cleanse your car by taking it to the car wash. Once the car is out of the car wash, it looks, you know, beautiful, shining, clean. How do you clean yourself? How do you clean yourself internally? Externally, you have the shower. But how you shower your soul? How do you cleanse your soul? Allah says in chapter 9, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. The way to refine them, to purify them, take charitable offering from them. Why? Does God need money himself? God himself, he cannot enrich people, he cannot feed people. He does, he can. Of course he can. The same way he gave to fulan and fulan, he can give to others. God is the source of richness. He is the source of giving. He is the sustainer. He is the Razzaq. But God wants through this process of offering and giving and sharing, we learn from it. We become mature. We grow. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً, offering from their wealth. مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ تُطَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. Cleansing them and purifying them thereby. Cleansing them. تُطَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. The charity that you give, the offering that you present, it would purify and refine from the defilement of this life, from being attached to this life. We are all attached to this life. We can't help it. We can't resist. Show me someone who says, I'm not attached to this life. People differ, you know, but all of them at the end of the day, they are attached to this life, to the wealth of this life, to the enjoyment of this life. Have you found someone in your life who says, I don't like money? Show me, where is that person? He says, I don't like money. I hate money. Nobody hates money. But sometimes the level of attachment is different. Some of them, that he's ready to kill his wife, his children because of money. Others, they are willing to share the money, share the food, share the space, share everything they have with others. So the level of attachment is different from one person into another. Allah says, I want you to refine them, to purify them, to make them know how to handle that money and what is their relationship with that money, so that money does not control them. That money does not control them. That money does not, you know, take away from them humanity and mercy and love and kindness. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. When you give money, it would reinforce, it would consolidate the concept the character of sharing, the character of caring inside you when you are willing. How do we learn sharing and caring? How do we learn it? When you share your food, times after times, when you are ready to share your food, your space, your clothing, your money, your pocket with others, then you're going to learn the concept of caring and sharing and loving. And the more a person gives with ikhlas, not with riya, not with riya, not to show off, not to let people know about this giving, but only to let God knows about it, only God, with ikhlas, with dedication, with earnestness. The more we give with earnestness, the more we become human. The more we become warm-hearted, more sympathetic, more tender, more humble, more affectionate, more loving. That is the result. So giving has two results. One is spiritual, the second is material. The spiritual effect of giving and donating, the sadaqah, the charity, the help that you present, is that you get closer to people. The more you give to a person, the closer you get to that person, the closer you get to the people. And Allah says the closer you get to the people, the closer you get to me too. Al-khalqu kulluhum iyalullah. If other religions, they believe God has one son, we believe God has millions of children, not one. But they are spiritual, not physical. We are the children of God. Al-khalqu kulluhum iyalullah. We are His family. Iyal means dependent. We depend on God. The same way your children, they depend on you to pay their bills, to feed them, to nurture them. We depend on God. Al-khalqu kulluhum iyalullah. Fa-aqrabuhum ila Allah anfa'uhum ila an-nas. The closer of them to God is the one of more benefit, more help to the people, to the children of God. The more you help the children of God, the closer you are to them, the closer you get to God. That is the way to God. Where is the way? Where is the highway? Some people think that the way to God only to go to Hajj. When I go to Hajj and I do the tawaf and sa'i and I read, pray, supplicate, I get closer, which is true. But where is the practical way? Hajj is the means, not the end. Prayers is the means, not the end. Fasting is the means, not the end. What is the end? The end is to get closer to God. These are means, these are ways to get closer to God. The more you get closer to the people, the more you are of help and benefit. كُلَّمَا ازْدَادَ نَفْعُ الْإِنسَانِ فِي الْمُجْتَمَعِ لِلنَّاسِ ازْدَادَ قُرْبُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Look at yourself, examine yourself. How much of help I am to the people? Am I a burden on my society, on my community? Or I am a source of help? Sometimes the help is material, sometimes the help is moral help, moral support. So this is one benefit of the charity. You get closer to God, spiritual benefit. The second benefit is material. Those who pay, those who help, those who take care of people, those who put sometimes people before themselves, they're going to see the effect, the result of that in their life. Their life is going to be blessed. Their work is going to be blessed. Their income is going to be blessed. Their home is going to be blessed. Their life is going to be blessed. This is another benefit that you see. There is a general rule in the Quran, in chapter 55, Surah Ar-Rahman. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ is the reward of goodness. Aught but goodness, nothing but goodness, definitely. And that law applies to every human being, be it believer or non-believer, doesn't matter. God says some of my laws, they apply to every human being, not only the Muslims, not only the believers. This law, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ, applies to every human being. Every human being, when he does something good, he will see good results. Another verse in the Quran supports this argument. Surah Az-Zilzila. فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. Any person, فمن يعمل, not just the Muslims who does this, not just those who believe in God. Any person who does this act, they're going to see the goodness of their act, or if they do evil, they will see the evil result of their acts. And even other religions, my friend, there is the concept of karma in Hinduism and Buddhism. The concept of karma means getting what you give. Whatever you give, whatever you provide, whatever you produce goodness, you see goodness. This is not just in Islam. Buddhism believe in this. Hinduism believe in this, karma. Anything you do good, you see good. You do bad, you will see bad. Let me conclude with this example that I see it in my daily life with many people. There are some people who experience psychological challenges in their life. Sometimes anxiety, fear, depression, whatever. And some people, they use medicine. They go to the psychotherapist, and psychotherapist here, they, you know, prescribe medicine immediately. Go to the pharmacy, get this, get that. But some people don't see results. Many people, they are using medicines, but they don't see results. Allah says, I know the way, I know the solution. The way to overcome these psychological, mental, emotional challenges is to help, is to serve. The more you serve those who are underprivileged in your community, those who are deprived, those who are poor, those who do not receive assistance and help, the more you dedicate your life to serving them, though yourself sometimes poor, yourself you need this. But if you dedicate yourself to help, you're going to find relief. I know many people in our community and other communities who followed this path. They went through difficulties, but then they dedicated their life, their time to helping others. They found relief, they found remedy, they found satisfaction, they found solutions. Solutions. Because one of the things that you see, one of the results of this work, is that you find yourself not alone in this dilemma in this life. Not alone. There are millions of people like you. They have the same suffering. They go through the same trauma. So when you dedicate yourself to helping them, you're going to find the remedy, the ilaj. You're going to get yourself out of that dilemma. Try this. Try it for 2 months, 3 months. Volunteer sometimes in hospitals, sometimes in shelters, sometimes in other educational institutions, religious institutions, and see for yourself. See the result. If you don't get positive results, quit. But you will find. The more you dedicate yourself to help people, begin with your parents, begin with your family, immediate relatives, begin with your neighbors, with your friends, and go to those who are strangers. The more you give, the more relief, the more satisfaction, internal satisfaction you receive. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal asri inna al-insana lafi khusrin. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأوصيائه وأهل بيته وأحبته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين، وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهما السلام، وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي، عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. We all heard what happened to this Saudi writer and journalist Jamal Khashoggi, how he was brutally and savagely murdered inside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, and he was decapitated, his body was cut into pieces. Gruesome description of what happened to him. And despite the whole world are asking the Saudi government to provide an answer, they are still, until this moment, they are still reluctant to confess their crime. And that they deny it. The king denies, the crown prince denies, everybody. As if nothing happened. They murder a person who's there for some paperwork, for his marriage. They murder him in cold blood, in a broad daylight, in a place where it's supposed to help people, where people are supposed to feel safe. This is part of their country, their land, their soul. They go inside the consulate and embassy, part of their country. But this person was not safe. And still the government are reluctant to provide an answer. I am not surprised. Anyone who knows the nature of the Saudi regime from day one would not be shocked or surprised. This is part of their nature. This is part of their character. This is part of their establishment. Saudi regime from day one started with a sword, with a bloodshed, with bone saw, as you said, as you saw what happened to this writer, dissident writer. They cut him into pieces with a saw. This is what happened from the beginning of Mamlaka Saudiya. If you read the history of the establishment of Saudi Arabia and their alliance, the alliance of Al Saud with Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, the political branch and the religious branch, they started their kingdom and their government with a sword. And even now, even today, the emblem of their kingdom is the sword. So the sword and the bloodshed and violence is part of their character. This is not something new. Their democracy is based on sword. A regime that has no respect for human rights, has no respect for human lives, have no respect for its own citizens, has no respect for minorities who are working there. Many people from the sub-Indian continents and other countries, they work in very harsh, inhumane circumstances. They work in construction, they work as laborers, and they have no rights. Few years ago, an Egyptian physician, his son was sexually assaulted by a Saudi man. And they forced the Saudi physician, if you want to keep your job and work here, you must shut your mouth. You should not speak. Imagine, people's integrity, people's respect, people's dignity is being trampled upon and they have to shut their mouth. Because the Saudi system is immune. And this is what they say. Our system is based on the Quran. If you ask them about your constitution, where is your constitution? They say, this is our constitution. Quran is our constitution. And they violate every verse of this Quran. Every verse of the Islamic faith. Every teaching of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And remember, the regime number one that exported terrorism and radicalism and fanaticism to the whole world was the regime of Saudi Arabia. regime of Al Saud. Radicalism started there, in their backyard, and they exported this to the East, to the West, to America, to Europe, to every Muslim country, to every Arab country, to every continent, by having this petrodollars that they had for 40, 50 years now. They established centers in the name of Masjid, Islamic Center, but it is a place to brainwash the people, to praise the Saudi government. Today, Imam of the Masjid al-Haram, today in his Friday prayers, today in Mecca, he says this pressure on us, the pressure that you are putting on our government to know what happened to this Jamal Khashoggi, it's an insult to all Muslims, 1.5 billion Muslims worldwide. Ajib. Insult to all Muslims? He thinks that all Muslims defend the regime. And they know the truth. They know that Muslims disagree with them. They know that the Saudi people disagree with them. You know how many people now are behind bars in jails? Saudi scholars, Saudi writers, people who tweet, simple tweet. Simple tweet. If it is not in favor of the regime, will end up you in jail. In jail, indefinitely. This is the nature of this barbaric, tribal, Jahili regime. But my anger is not on Saudi Arabia, it's on the United States of America, on the White House, on those people who are supporting them until now, because of money, because of arms sales, because the president, he says, I don't want to lose this customer. If I lose this customer, he will go to China, he will go to India, he will go to China and Russia. Look at the moral crisis of Europe, of America, of the White House here. They know the regime is the perpetrator of this crime, but they hired Donald Trump in America to be their lawyer, their defender, their spokesperson, to cover up for them, to cover up. He comes every day to the media and he says, I don't know. If it is true, they did it, it is gross. But still we cannot know about this. We can't verify this. Cover up for a rogue regime. Saudi Arabia could not export their terrorism to the world if it was not with the help of the United States of America and some European countries and some other countries. They helped them. They encouraged them. They gave them not only material support, not only they are sending arms, selling arms, to a regime who's using this arm only against civilians. Tell me where Saudi Arabia used their bombs and their aircrafts. Where did they use them? Other than Yemen, other than Bahrain, other than sending to Syria to destroy this beautiful country of Syria. Look what happened to Syria. Because of Saudi money and Qatari money and the Gulf money. They didn't use them to defend Islam or Mecca or Medina. They used this money to destroy Islam, to destroy Muslim countries, Muslim societies. Who is suffering today? Where is the largest number of refugees? In Syria and Yemen. Because of whom? Because of Saudi Arabia. Because of their policies. The West lent them his moral support, his physical support, material support, and they continue. They continue. Of course, Mohammed bin Salman would murder anyone as long as he has someone in the White House defending him and covering up for him, and try to find him excuses. Of course he will do that, he will continue that. And this is a crisis in America. The moral credibility of America and the West is undermined and compromised with what happened and what is happening in Yemen and other places. Here, when you put interest before principles, this is what happens. When interests are more important than principles, then human rights, then ethics, this is what happens. You are encouraging criminals and thugs and rogue governments to continue because you are giving them a pass. You are telling them, listen, you can do anything to your citizens. You are not going to hold you accountable. Go do. Do whatever you want to do. He himself said, how many times he said, Donald Trump said recently several times, If it wasn't for the military support of the United States, the royal family could not last for more than 2 weeks. Sometimes he said only 3 days. He knows that. So if you know you are supporting them with their violations, why do you keep supporting them? Why? As I said, my friends, believe me, I don't fear for other countries. I fear for America. When you continue this path of trampling upon human rights, upon your principles and your values, your country is going to be in trouble. Khashoggi is gone. But what will happen next is that your country will be in trouble. When you don't support your own values, your own constitution, your own principles, and you keep supporting those criminals and barbarics, then you will be in trouble. Money is not going to help you. Even if you make billions of dollars, you're going to lose them. How many times we made money from Qatar and Saudi Arabia and Emirates and other countries, and we lost them in one hurricane here in this country? In one hurricane. All these billions of dollars, they vanished in one hurricane. Because God has his own rules. وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ God has his own policies. God would never compromise his values. You may, but God does not. God is watching there. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ We have to join our voices to stand with justice. This is what we learn as Muslims. Islam is not just the prayers, Friday prayers. Islam is when you speak justice. When you defend justice, when you stand for justice, لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ I have no relationship with Jamal Khashoggi. He's not my cousin. Neither I was in favor of him because he was sectarian. I heard many of his interviews. He was attacking this faith against that faith. He was sectarian in his. And he was supporting the regime until yesterday. He was respecting Mohammed ibn Salman. He was their spokesperson here in Washington. But then he's a human being. He doesn't deserve this. He doesn't deserve this. This is not the way you deal with your dissidents. This is not Islah. Muhammad ibn Salman, when he came, he raised the slogan of Islah. I'm going to change. I'm going to put an end to corruption. This is corruption. What you are doing is corruption. What is worse than this? Killing someone who disagrees with you. We have to stand with justice. Always. If we want Allah to send us victory, to make us dignified, we must stand, always, stand with those who are oppressed. Even if they don't belong to us, we must stand with them, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna Allah ya'mur bil-adli wal-ihsani wa ita'i dhil-qurba. Wa yanha anil fahshai wal-munkari wal-baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkaroon. Allahumma aghfir lil-mu'minina wal-mu'minat, wal-muslimina wal-muslimat, al-ahya'i minhum wal-amwat. تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات إنك ماحي السيئات وجاعلها حسنات Tonight we have at 6:30 p.m. inshallah the kids club session kids between the ages of 8 to 12 they come here and tonight Hajj Robert Turfi inshallah